That may be the slowest performance of Tristan on record, but it was deliberate, and it's the way I see Wagner's score, and not only the way I see it, but what Wagner writes in his score. And I think if I've succeeded at all, it's to convey that essence of timelessness that I was talking about earlier, where you stop all the clocks in the world and you operate only in terms of Wagner's clock, which is, of course, an extraterrestrial one. And so music can never be the same again. The gates of chromaticism have been flung open, those golden gates of the golden age, which were the outer limits of ambiguity, standing firm in diatonic majesty. But now that they're open, now that Berlioz and Chopin and Schumann and Wagner have pushed them open, we're in new tonal fields that are apparently limitless. We're bounding and leaping from one ambiguity to the other, from Berlioz to Wagner to Bruckner and Mahler to Debussy and Scriabin and Stravinsky. It's a dizzying adventure, this romantic romp, shedding one inhibition after another, indulging in newer and ever more illicit ambiguities, piling them on, stringing them out, daring them to take over for nearly a whole century. But how ambiguous can you get before the clarity of musical meaning is lost altogether? How far can music romp through these new chromatic fields without finding itself in uncharted terrain, in a wild forest of sharps and flats? Are there no further gates of containment? Perhaps not golden ones, perhaps only dry stone walls or rude fences. Well, of course there are, or rather were, until they began to crumble under the attack of the new century. These tonal fences, walls of formality, somehow still managed to contain the rampage of chromaticism, even through the crises of Tristan and Isolde, and of Pelléas and Mélisande, and the Rite of Spring.